शिवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 87 Chapter is entitled The Prayers of the Personified Vedas. Text number 23. Nibhrutamarun manokshadrdha yoga yujo hridiyan. Munaya upasate tadarayopiya yusmaranat. स्त्रियौरगेन्द्रभोगभुजदण्डविषक्तधियो वयमपि ते समाः समदृशोऽङ्घ्रिसरोजसुधा निभृतमरुन्मनोक्षदृढयोगयुजो हृदियन् मुनय उपासते तदरयोऽपि ययुस्मरणात् स्त्रिय उरगेन्द्र भोग भुज दण्ड विषक्त धियो वयमपि ते समाः समदृशोऽङ्घ्रि सरोजसुधा निभृतमरुन्मनोक्षदृढयोगयुजो हृदियन् मुनय उपासते तदरयोऽपि ययुस्मरणात् स्त्रियौरगेन्द्रभोगभुजदण्डविषक्तधियो वयमपि ते समाः समदृशोऽङ्घ्रिसरोजसुधा Mataji's. Nibhrita, brought under control. Marut, with breathing. Mana, mind. Aksha, and senses. Dridha Yoga, in steadfast yoga. Yuja, engaged. Hridi, in the heart. Yat, which. Munayaha, sages. Upasate, worship. Tat, that. Arayaha, enemies. Api, also. Yayuhu, attained. Smaranat, by remembering. Striyaha, women. Uraga Indra, of lordly serpents. Bhoga, like the bodies. Bhuja, whose arms. Danda, rod-like. Vishakta, attracted. Dhiyaha, whose minds. Vayam, we. Api, also. Te, to you. Samaha, equal. Sama, equal. Drishaha, whose vision. Angri, of the feet. Saroja, lotus-like. Sudha, relishing the nectar. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Simply by constantly thinking of him, the enemies of the Lord attained the same supreme truth, whom sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling their breath, mind and senses. Similarly, we Shrutis, who generally see you as all-pervading, will achieve the same nectar from your lotus feet that your consorts are able to relish because of their loving attraction to your mighty serpentine arms. For you look upon us and your consorts in the same way. It's a long purport. According to Acharya Sri Jiva Goswami, the few Shrutis, such as the Gopala Tapani Upanishad, who identify the cowherd boy Krishna with absolute Brahman in its highest aspect, had so far been patiently waiting for their turn to speak. But after hearing the other Shrutis offer prayers, openly glorifying the Lord's personality, these intimate Shrutis could no longer contain themselves. And so they spoke out of turn in this verse. Followers of the path of mystic yoga subdue their senses and minds by practicing breath control and severe austerities. If they succeed in thoroughly purifying themselves by this regimen, they may eventually begin to realize the Paramatma, the personal form of Brahman within the heart. And if they continue this meditation without deviation for a long time, they may, in the end, come to the point of true God consciousness. But the same objective achieved in this difficult and uncertain way was also attained by the demons who were killed by Lord Krishna during his pastimes on the earth. Obsessed with enmity toward him, demons like Kamsa and Shishupal quickly obtained the perfection of liberation simply by his killing them. Speaking for themselves, however, the personified Vedas here state that they would prefer to develop love of Godhead by learning to emulate the favorable surrender of Lord Krishna's confidential devotees, especially the young gopis of Raja. Though they appear to be simple women attracted conjugally to the Lord's physical beauty and strength, the goddesses of Vraja exhibited the highest perfection of meditation. The Shrutis wished to become just like them. In this regard, Lord Brahma relates the following historical account in the supplement to the Brihat Vamana Puran. Brahmanandamayoloko vyapi vaikuntha samtnitah tallokavasi tatrasthai sutovedai paratparah. The infinite world of spiritual bliss is called Vaikuntha. There the supreme truth lives, being glorified by the personified Vedas who are also present there. Chiram stutva tatastushta paroksham prahatangira tushtosmi bruta bho prajna varam yam manasepsitam. Once, after the Vedas had elaborately praised him, the Lord felt especially satisfied and spoke to them in a voice whose source remained invisible. My dear sages, I am very satisfied with you. Please ask of me some benediction that you secretly desire. Shrutaya uchu, yatha tallokavasinya kamatatvena gopikaha bhajanti ramanam matva chikirsha janit Nanstatha. The Shrutis replied, we have developed the desire to become like the cowherd women of the mortal world who, inspired by lust, worship you in the mood of a lover. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Durlabho Durghatascaiva Yushmakam Samanorathah Mayanumoditas Samyak Satyo Bhavitumarhati. The Lord then said, this desire of yours is difficult to fulfill. Indeed, it is almost impossible. But since I am sanctioning it, your wish must inevitably come true. Agamini virinchau tu jate srishtyartham udite kalpam sarasvadam prapya vraje gopyo bhavishyatha. When the next Brahma takes birth to faithfully execute his duties of creation, and when the day of his life called the Sarasvata Kalpa arrives, you will all appear in the Vraja as gopis.
Prithivyam bharate kshetre mathure mama mandale vrindavane bhavishyami preyanvo rasa mandale.
On the earth, in the land of Bharata, in my own district of Mathura, in the forest of Vrindavan, I will become your beloved in the circle of the rasa dance.
Jaradharmena susneham sudridham sarvatodhikam mayi samprapya sarvepi kritakritya bhavishyatha.
Thus obtaining me as your paramour, you will all gain the most exalted and steadfast pure love for me. And in this way you will fulfill all your ambitions.
Brahmo vacha shrutvaidachintayantyasta rupam bhagavatashchiram uktakalam samasadya gopyo bhutva harimgataha.
Lord Brahma said, after hearing these words, the Shrutis meditated on the personality of Godhead's beauty for a long time. When the designated time ultimately arrived, they became gopis and obtained the association of Krishna. A similar account can be found in the Srishti Khanda of the Padma Puran, which describes how the Gayatri Mantra also became a gopi. Regarding the development of bhakti, Lord Krishna further states in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad, by remembering me, one who is impure becomes pure. By remembering me, one who follows no vows becomes a strict follower of vows. By remembering me, one who is desireless develops desire to serve me. By remembering me, one who has studied no Vedic mantras becomes an expert knower of the Vedas. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad refers to the gradual steps in the process of becoming Krishna conscious. Atma va are drishtavya shrotavyo mantavyo nididhyasitavya. It is a self which must be observed, heard about, thought of and meditated upon with fixed concentration. The idea here is that one should realize the Supreme Self as directly visible in his full personality by the following means. First, one should hear the instructions of a qualified representative of the Paramatma and take the words of such a spiritual master into one's heart by offering him humble service and striving in all ways to please him. One should then ponder the divine message of the spiritual master continuously, with the aim of dispelling all one's doubts and misconceptions. Then one can proceed to meditate on the Supreme Lord's lotus feet with total conviction and determination. So-called jnanis may think that the Upanishads praise nirvishesha, impersonal realization of the Supreme, as more complete and final than savishesha, personal worship of the Supreme Godhead. All honest Vaishnavas, however, join in adhering to the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, always meditating with pleasure on his infinitely wonderful variegated spiritual qualities. In the words of the Shrutri Mantras, Yame Vaisha Vrunute Tena Labhyas Tasyesha Atma Vivrunute Tanum Swam. To that person whom the Supreme Soul chooses, he becomes attainable. To that person, the Supreme Soul reveals his personal form. Shridhar Swami concludes with the prayer, Charanasmaranam Premna Tavadeva Sudurlabham Yatha Kathanchit Nrhare Mama Bhuyat Aharnisham. O Lord, loving remembrance of your lotus feet is very rarely achieved. Please, O Nrhari, somehow arrange for me to have that remembrance day and night.
Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam.
वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। बिफोर आई बिगिन आई वुड लाइक टू सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द असेंबल्ड वैष्णव्स हियर। So here in this section, we are continuing the prayers of the personified Vedas. And as stated here by Jiva Goswami, all these Shrutis, personified Vedas, were glorifying the Lord. And they were going turn by turn, one after the other. And hearing these glories, one specific Upanishad, whose name is Gopal Tapani Upanishad. That Upanishad, the personified Upanishad, became excited and wanted to glorify out of turn. And that Upanishad begins to glorify. So here we find generally the etiquette is you go to turn by turn. But when someone is too eager, you don't stick to the rule. There could be an exception. And that is not, if it is driven by real eagerness or real enthusiasm, excitement, then such a breaking of the rule, violation of the rule is not considered a violation. It's not considered breaking of the etiquette. Similar thing we find here in the Srimad Bhagavatam earlier cantos, where Maitreya Muni is describing to Vidura the various pastimes. So he is describing the descendants of Manu, Swayambhu Manu. And so Swayambhu Manu has sons like Uttanapad and Priyavrat. So Priyavrat is the elder son. Uttanapad is the second son. And his son is Dhruva. So while describing the descendants, ideally, he should go from Priyavrat to Uttanapad, then to Dhruva Maharaj. But he directly jumps to Dhruva's pastime first, breaking the standard norms. Because he is excited about Dhruva's glories, is eager to describe Dhruva Maharaj's qualities and how his determination enabled him to get the darshan of the Lord. And then he describes Dhruva Maharaj and then comes to Uttanapad. And finally, in the fifth canto, so this happens in the fourth canto. In the fifth canto he describes the pastimes of Priyavrat and how he was instructed by Narayana, all those things. And similarly we find even in the tenth canto, when Parikshit Maharaj is requesting Shukdev Goswami, he says, please describe me the descendants of the moon and the sun dynasty. Soma Surya Yoho. So usually it is the first descendant is sun and then is the moon. But he is too eager to hear about Krishna's Vamsha, who is coming in the Soma Vamsha, the moon dynasty. And he requests Shukadeva Goswami to begin that pastime as early as possible. So this is a general tendency among devotees who are eager to hear a specific topic, request the speaker to not exactly follow the standard rules. Even Prabhupada's purports, if you find, especially in the Gita, although in the earlier chapter, although the conclusion of the Gita appears in the 18th chapter, Sarvadharman Parityajya and Manmanabhava Madbhakto, those sections. But and the earlier chapters, Krishna is speaking about Karma Yoga, Karma Kand, cultivating knowledge, cultivating meditation on the super soul. But in almost every purport, Prabhupada makes sure that the reader doesn't miss the conclusion. Whenever possible, he makes sure that the reader gets the conclusive message. Because most readers may not continue reading till the conclusion, till the 18th chapter. So he wants to ensure that whoever opens the book, in any part of the book, any page of the book, they get the message. And in every purport we find how Prabhupada brings out the message that ultimately we have to surrender to Krishna, love Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Even though the verse or translation is speaking of something else. Right? There may be nothing about devotional service in the verse. But Prabhupada makes sure that the reader gets that message of ultimately surrendering to Krishna. So, that's how eager speakers want to make sure. This is driven by love. Love for Krishna, that's what makes them to violate these principles. Apparently violate these principles. So here we find in this section, the Shrutis are saying that the destination achieved by people who fixed in yoga worship by controlling breath, mind and senses, that same destination is attained by even the demons. The demons also achieve the same destination. The same destination is achieved by the people who worship on the impersonal Brahman. So in the 6th chapter of the Gita, you find how Krishna describes the arduous process of Ashtanga Yoga. He says, Shuchau Deshe Pratishthapya, select a clean place, Sthiram Asanam, fixed posture, sitting posture, then your back and the back should be erect, neck, back should be in one line, Samam Kaya Shiro Grivam, and then focus your mind on one object, and then control your breath. You should be free from fear, practice celibacy, strict celibacy, freedom from fear, should not be afraid of, which animal is going to attack me, where will I get my food, all those fear should not be there. And deep inside the forest you have to do all this, away from all distractions. Such a technical, difficult process. Then once you, so these are all the 8 limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. Yama, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, then we have Pratyahar, Dharana, Dhyan and Samadhi. And each of these 8 limbs has their own sub-limbs. Like for example, Yama, it demands, one should be non-possessive about objects. One should be practicing celibacy, strict celibacy. One should not be, one should practice ahimsa. So many sublimes. No violence to anyone, mental or physical. And Niyam has similar principles. So, if a modern person hears all these principles, then he will give up all idea of performing yoga. And, so here in this section, the Shrutis are saying, those who practice this kind of difficult yoga, putting so much effort and finally few out of thousands, one may attain that success. People who attain that success by performing this kind of difficult process, the same destination is attained by demons who are killed by Krishna. The enemies of the Lord attain the same supreme truth. The Shrutis are saying. So enemies like Kamsa and Shishupal. So, then one may wonder, why go through all this difficulty? Better get killed by Krishna and attain the same destination. So now this may appear to be partial. Why Krishna is being partial towards partial towards the demons and not showing special favor upon the Ashtanga Yogis? So this section also comes in the 7th canto where Narad Muni is answering this question of Yudhishthir Maharaj. How come the chapter is entitled, the Lord is equal to everyone? And then Narad Muni says, those who are demons like Shishupala and Kamsa, they are much better than devotees who meditate and focus on the form of the Lord. Because their absorption through enmity on the form of Krishna is much more than the absorption of ordinary devotees like us. So Narad Muni is counting himself as an ordinary devotee, sadhaka. And he is saying, they are much better situated, those demons. So we may feel that this is all, this is not proper, this is not fair awarding the benefits. This is unfair game. But the disease is the same. If you see the demons also, that their disease is, they want to kill the personality of Krishna. They want to deny his personal form, qualities and name and attributes. And therefore they fight with Krishna. They want to kill Krishna. Kill God. And the impersonalists, or the people who try to deny Krishna's form through their writings, through their talks, the impersonalists, their disease is also the same. They may not try to physically attack Krishna, but their tendency is the same. They also want to destroy Krishna's personality and his personal attributes through their various channels. That's what they do. So therefore the destination obtained by them and the destination obtained by these people, the yogis, the demons and the yogis, is ultimately the same. So it's not an unfair treatment. So therefore, so similarly, the Shrutis are comparing, just like they get the same destination, these two classes of people, the demons and the yogis, we are also, they are humble, they are admitting, we are also so unqualified, but still we are getting the same destination as the destination achieved by the gopis. Why? Because we have developed the desire and you have glanced upon us. You have glanced upon us. Although we are much lesser qualified, but because we have developed this little attraction towards your conjugal relations, we are going to obtain that destination. So here in the purport it says, they are going to get the destination in the next Brahma's life. So this happened, it seems, in the previous Brahma's duration. And the Lord is saying, not now, immediately you won't get this. When the next Brahma takes birth to faithfully execute his duties, you will appear all in Vraja as gopis. So they had to wait quite a long time, almost one Brahma's life, in order to fulfill their desire of participating in the Rasalila. And here we demand, why can't we get the results so fast? So this verse also appears, this verse that we are discussing, it appears in Nectar of Devotion, where Rupa Goswami is talking about Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So as we know, devotional service in practice has two forms, Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga. Vaidhi Bhakti involves practicing the rules and regulations, the 64 limbs of devotional service that Rupa Goswami lists out, chanting the holy names, remembering, worshipping the deity, watering the tulsi plant. So these are Vaidhi Bhakti rules. And Raganuga Bhakti is then, once a Vaidhi Bhakta advances a little, he develops a spontaneous attraction towards towards one of the residents of Vrindavan. Residents of Vrindavan can be any one of those five rasas, four rasas, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. If a sadhaka develops attraction towards any of these bhaktas, in any of these four rasas, that's the beginning of his Raganuga Bhakti. And then he has to, under specific guidance, he has to cultivate that mood, that attraction, and channelize it, and eventually it should turn into Bhava Bhakti. That's how Rupa Goswami explains. So he classifies this Raganuga attraction into two types. One is those who are attracted to either dasya, sakhya or vatsalya. And the second is those who are attracted to madhurya bhava. So madhurya is one classification. All other three falls in the second category. So this verse that we are discussing today explains those who are in the, those who have developed raganuga attraction towards madhurya bhava. So gradually when Prabhupada explains in that Nectar of Devotion, he says there may be all of them, he explains in this connection how both of them attain the same destination. The gopi, the shrutis, who have developed their attraction, if you feel they are being unfairly treated or the demons are being unfairly treated, he gives this explanation, the logic. Just like on the sun, all attain the spiritual realm, but devotees go into the abode of the Supreme Lord. For example, if there is a kingdom and someone gets an entry into the kingdom, some people may stay and roam around the kingdom. No, some residents of the kingdom, they may roam around the area of the kingdom. But only a few attain entrance into the palace. That's how the Shrutis are glorifying Krishna. Although we are not qualified, we are getting entrance into participating in your Rasa Leela. So that's, so the destination externally it is same, on the it's on the absolute realm, all are on the same spiritual platform. But even within spiritual platform, there are categories. Some attain salokya, sarshti, sarupya, muktis, whereas some get personal association, personal service to Krishna. So we should not judge or think that ultimately everything is the same. All are getting the same destination, whether you are killed by a demon, you are killed by Krishna in the form of a demon, or you are practicing Ashtanga or Bhakti, ultimately the benefit is the same. The benefit is not the same. You may be liberated from the material modes, material world, but even within spiritual world, there are so many categories and so many classifications, so many levels. So those who develop a favorable anya vilashita anukulena krishna anushilanam, those who develop that favorable mood of cultivating devotional service, their destination is definitely superior to those who are demonic and killed by Krishna. So it's not all the same. This impartiality, Krishna also talks about his impartial nature in the Gita. He says samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyo sinapriya. So there Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a nice explanation. He says, Krishna is neither partial nor neutral. He is reciprocal. Like he says, ye yathamam prabhadyante. So partial, if there is a person who is showing partiality towards different people. So for example, a teacher is there in a school, in a class. The teacher shows partialities. He favors some students, gives extra marks to some children, and fails other children. That is partiality. Such a behavior is not appreciated. On the other hand, imagine a person or a teacher or a parent who is like stone-faced. You glorify him, he's unaffected. You criticize him, he's unaffected. You appreciate him, he's unaffected. Whatever you do to him, he has no reaction, no emotion. That is being neutral. He is neutral. He can say, I am neutral. But that neutrality is not appreciated. Right? That's not a favorable way of interacting with people. So whether you are neutral or partial, both are wrong. We have to be reciprocal. And that's what Krishna is. You show him anger, he will reciprocate in anger. You show him love and he will reciprocate in love. You serve him, Krishna will serve you. So being reciprocal is actual impartial nature. Not that artificial impartiality or artificial neutrality where you don't give any reaction. Whatever you do, that is all blank reaction. So, in this purport, towards the final section, the purport says the glories of remembering Krishna. the gradual steps in the process of becoming Krishna conscious, of which remembrance of Krishna is one important aspect. First, one should hear the instructions of a qualified representative, take the words of the spiritual master into one's heart, offer humble service and strive to please him. Similar to that verse, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena Pariprashtena Sevaya. That is the section. One should then ponder the divine message continuously with the aim of dispelling all one's doubts. Then one can proceed to meditate on the Supreme Lord's lotus feet with total conviction. So in this section, Smaranam, so like we have the nine limbs, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So if we have heard enough, that hearing will lead us to Kirtanam. That Kirtanam will lead us to Smaranam. So why Shravanam is considered important? Sometimes we hear, Shravanam is most important limb of the devotional service. And sometimes we hear Kirtanam is the most important, or Smaranam is the most important. Or even we hear Atma Nivedanam, surrendering everything is the most important. So everything appears most important. What exactly is most important? Shravanam is important in the sense that it is the first limb of the nine processes. And if we have heard enough, then we are in a position to do Kirtanam. And without hearing, our Kirtanam will be ineffective. And without proper Kirtanam, our Smaranam will be ineffective. So Shravanam, what does Shravanam constitute? Shravanam means you get Sambandha Gyan. You hear Krishna's glories, qualities, his holy name. So Sambandha Gyan, getting Sambandha Gyan is important because we know our constitutional position, Krishna's constitutional position, the nature of the material world. And then with that knowledge, when we do Kirtan, it will be effective. So getting knowledge doesn't mean you become a jnani, you become a scholar. That's not the idea. The idea is you get the knowledge either through reading or through hearing. Some way or the other we have to get the knowledge. We cannot minimize the importance of getting knowledge. So in Prabhupada's books we find, Prabhupada condemns, you need not become a jnani and a big scholar. Even an illiterate person like the South Indian Brahman who was reading the Gita, such a person can also attain the highest destination. So, jnani means his idea is to accumulate and accumulate knowledge and display his scholarship. That is condemned. But we cannot ignore the need for getting the knowledge. Knowledge has to be acquired through some way or the other, if not by reading, if not by hearing. Krishna may inspire somehow within the heart of the devotee. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantate. And then he says, tesham evanukam partham. Jnana deepena bhasvata. Knowledge is important to dispel the illusion, who I am, who Krishna is. That illusion has to be dispelled somehow or the other. If not by reading books, somehow or other we have to get the knowledge. So that is Shravanam. And then it will lead to Kirtanam. Glorify Krishna. So out of the nine limbs, Kirtanam is the most important. Because that includes all other limbs. All other limbs of devotional service. And then Smaranam. So here this section is describing the importance of Smaranam. Cultivating Smaranam gradually, step by step. Which will eventually lead to our perfection. And Shivaram Maharaj gives a nice analysis of how this Shravanam has to be cultivated. He says, since one cannot practice remembrance artificially, one must have two prerequisites in order to practice Smaranam nicely. Those two prerequisites are purity of heart and suitable knowledge. Without these two, our Smaranam will be at best intermittent, or it will be totally distracted. So purity of heart, Lord Chaitanya also says, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. So constantly chanting Krishna's holy name is the most effective way of cultivating purity of heart. And suitable knowledge. Suitable knowledge we obtain through the books, predominantly the Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Purity of heart makes the mind peaceful enough to enter thoughts of Vrindavan. So yesterday we were in the GV, we saw how that the seven temples, Govardhan, all those places of Vrindavan replicated here. So when we go there, in spite of roaming around the 12 forests and seven temples, if our mind is distracted to somewhere else, thoughts of Bombay, that means our mind is not pure enough. Physically we are present in that place. Still we are worried about so many things happening in the outside world. So many messages coming on the phone and we are distracted. So purity of thought is enough. Purity of heart makes the mind peaceful enough to enter thoughts of Vrindavan. And the second prerequisite, knowledge of the Vrajavasi's pastimes, features, knowledge of the Vrajavasi's pastimes, features and qualities provides the subject matter in which to immerse the mind. So mind has to be focused on things. Where to focus the mind? That is, pastimes of Vrajavasis, the features of Vrajavasis, qualities of Vrajavasis. That's the subject matter where we have to immerse the mind. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada was fond of quoting the following two verses from Narottam Das Thakur. One verse. Vishaya chadiya kabe, shuddha have man, kabe hama herbo Shri Vrindavan. When the mind is completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. And then my spiritual life will be successful. So unless we are thoroughly purified, the mind is thoroughly purified, there is no scope of having constant, uninterrupted remembrance of Krishna. Then he goes on to explain. Devotees must first achieve freedom from material contamination by practicing the step-by-step process of regulative devotion outlined by Rupa Goswami. So every limb of the 64 limbs is ultimately meant to help us remember Krishna at every point, at every step, at every moment in life. And without strictly practicing those 64 limbs, it becomes difficult. So in the morning program that we follow, out of the 64, almost 50 to 55 are covered. In that morning program alone, till 9:30. The mind then purified, they can gain knowledge of Vrindavan from the books of the six Goswamis and their authorized followers in the line of our founder Acharya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. So after sufficiently purifying the mind, knowledge of Vrindavan is available in the six Goswami books. Then, attraction to a resident of Vrindavan develops in stages. The first stage. The first stage is a general attraction for a particular devotional mood. Maybe friendship or conjugal love. Next, a specific attraction to devotees who render service in that mood. First is a mood, attraction to a mood. Then a devotee who is rendering service in that mood. That attraction develops in the sadhaka. The last to awaken, which happens when taste and attachment, ruchi and asakti develop. The last is the attraction to a specific Vrajavasi. When devotees evolve to ecstatic love, bhava bhakti, they are no longer in the stage of practice. So sadhana bhakti, the transition happens from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti. Revelation confirms or modifies their spiritual identity and the particulars of who they are following Vraja. So till Raganuga, the end of Raganuga Bhakti, it's all our effort, mostly our effort. We select a mood to follow, we select which kind of Vrajavasi we must follow. And then the transition to Bhava Bhakti happens when it is revealed to us who is the Vrajavasi you have to follow and what is your identity. Then he says, even after cultivating mountains of knowledge, devotees cannot remember Krishna and his associates without mental purity. So loads of knowledge is not enough. We may have memorized a lot of books, but if mental purity is not there, then our remembrance will be ineffective. The mind plays an essential role in remembrance and hence in spontaneous practice. Therefore, genuine Raganuga Bhakti cannot be imitated. Devotees either have control of the mind or no control of the mind. Binary. One, yes or no. So therefore in the Ashtanga Yoga you find so many stages for mental control. So many instructions on mind control. Even in the Gita, Krishna gives several instructions, several verses on the necessity to control the mind. Yato yato nischarati manaschanchalam asthiram tatastato niyamye tat atmanye vavashamnayet. Wherever the mind wanders, bring it back under the control of the self. And even if there is one sense that is going around, roaming around, that is enough to cause the yogis fall down. And in the 6th chapter you find Uddhare Dhatman Atmanam, and then how mind is a friend, best friend. Controlled mind is the best friend, uncontrolled mind is the worst enemy. So although these are limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, even a Bhakti Yogi or a Sadhaka can, the principles remain the same. Sadhaka also can take the benefits of these instructions and apply it in our practice. And then once we have practiced mental control, purified the mind enough and gained sufficient knowledge to immerse our mind into those thoughts of Vrindavan, then gradually we can elevate ourselves, raise ourselves to the stage of constant remembrance of Krishna and attain pure love of Krishna. Hare Krishna, any comments or questions anyone has? Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.